My name is Brian Pillman Jr., and you are listening to In Your Head with Shannon Standiford.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to In Your Head with Shannon Standiford. Man's nuts. That's what I hear every day in my own head. So yeah, I am a little crazy. I'm a little nutty. And you know what? I'm okay with that. Somebody once said that this show is probably not the best idea for me because people could use it as a way to, like, I don't know, hurt me or something like that because of the things that I talk about. The things that I have literally thought about, and things that I've overcome. And to that, I said, okay, let them. I'm not ashamed of the show, I'm not ashamed of the things that I've overcome, I'm not ashamed of the things that I deal with on a daily basis. The things that I deal with is hard, and the things that I deal with is difficult. So, fuck it, I don't care. So, like I said, a couple weeks ago, on the last episode, I am changing some stuff up, with the show. We're still going to be doing interviews, so I gotta get some interviews lined up, but we're also going to be discussing other things on the show. Today, we're discussing poetry and how it has helped me with my depression. So, away we go. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to In Your Head with Shannon Standiford. I am Shannon Standiford, and I'm doing a new kind of show this week. So as most of you guys know, if you know me at all, know my background, I am a 13-time published poet. And I take great pride in that. Do I think that I'm, like, really good? Like, as most writers and most creative people, I'm very well aware that my stuff probably is mediocre at best, but it's also because for me, I've always tried to be very humble. But one of the things that I do with my depression, one way that I can exercise it is that I like to write. As you know, as I'm talking about poetry, one of the things that that's been very helpful for me to get at least the darkness out of my own head, is to be able to write it down. And one of the things that I'm so glad that I can do is, I like to take the stuff that's going on in my personal life, the stuff that I don't really ever feel comfortable talking about, and I like to put it on paper. You know, like I'm a very old school, old-minded. It's pen to paper for me. I do have some of my poetry on my Facebook page. But for the most part, I just like to write it down because it makes me feel better. Like, I have actually wrote some poems where it got pretty dark. And I don't know why I said dork like that. It got pretty dark. And so one of the things that I was always taught was that you take whatever's bothering you and you write it down. And after the minute that you write that last word down, you burn it. And I did a lot of that with a lot of my poems. And sadly, I will never know if they're any good. But to me, it wasn't about, you know, if they were good or not. It was about just getting that release out, you know, getting those emotions, that darkness off my chest and into the world to where it's not weighing me down anymore. And I think that is probably one of the best things that you can probably do in life is find creative outlets to like exhume your soul of all this darkness, exercise your soul from all this darkness and this pain and stuff like that you go through. So, like I read this article on mindwise.org, and so like I'll read some excerpts from it. Poetry allows us to use the nuance of language to talk about some of the most difficult feelings that humans can experience. Poetry helps us shape our loss, heartache, and even our depression in the form of free verse, haiku, and it goes on. It forces us to confront our innermost thoughts and feelings and provides a comfortable format to be able to share them with others. Poetry is a form of comfort. I mean, whenever I read poetry, it transports me out of my own head and into someone else's. You know, there's something very soothing and comforting about the repetition and rhythm. It's honestly, it's a great relaxation tool. Whenever I write, I like to think that if somebody by chance reads something that I wrote, that maybe they pick up on something, maybe they relate to it. And I think part of me hopes that even if it's like, if it's the people that know me, then they can see just a little bit into my heart, my mind, my soul, because for the most part, I tend to guard myself a lot. And if you know anything about my journey, is that you know that I struggle a lot, especially lately. After I had a mental breakdown last year during the pandemic, I don't really think I ever really truly recovered. I have a lot of problems sometimes. Sometimes I get back into my own head and I get, you know, like I get a little dark, you know, like I feel like, you know, like I start feeling like people are trying to replace me or like trying to make me into something that I'm not. You know, like people think that they know who I am based off of what they see and not really what they, you know, like, know me as, you know, like I'm so like I guard myself a lot. And one of the things that I like to do is that whenever I'm writing, whether it be a poem or maybe it's a short story or maybe it's just, you know, like a little quib, you know, here and there, I like to think that for that brief minute or two that it's opening up my soul to them, because a lot of people know that when it comes to relationships, I'm not great. I am not great at relationships. I'm not great at picking them. I'm not great at interacting with them. I'm not great at keeping them mostly. But whenever I do feel something for someone, I am one of those people that I feel it, you know, I feel all of it, whether it's, you know, the first, that honeymoon phase, you know, or like the initial attraction or falling in love, getting utterly and magnificently destroyed by love, you know, and cause like love to me is an amazing thing. I think, it's also a very elusive thing for me, because there are times in my life, and you know, I'll just go ahead and say it. I'll just kind of use this as a free form of letting the world know what's going on with me. Is I am one of those people that whenever I fall in love with someone, it's always there. And it doesn't ever really go away until there's a definitive end, you know, like that light bulb moment. But there's also, I'm a firm believer in destiny and soulmates and true love and knowing when who you'll end up with. I believe that, for me, I believe that the good Lord has kind of given me some special gifts, we'll say, and like these thoughts and these feelings and stuff like that, for reasons. And one of the reasons is there's this woman in my life that we used to date. And then we kind of ended things because we both thought we were doing the right thing. We didn't want to hurt each other because there was going to be some much more distance involved than originally started with. And we were hoping to do the right thing. And then eventually both of us at separate times decided that we didn't like that, that we're supposed to be together. And she came first, you know, and I was too naive and too stupid and still thinking that I was doing the right thing. And clearly I wasn't. And then it dawned on me that I'm still massively in love with this woman. And I told her, you know, and this may make me sound like an absolute asshole, because if this was anybody else and this was me, I'd be probably upset and I'd probably feel a little defeated. But even if she is with somebody I know, at the end of the day, that woman is mine, and not in a possessive way. Like that one, I will. I am a firm believer that some things are just magic, and what me and her have is magic. And I've told her that at the end of the day, by the end of our life, I have this feeling that we're supposed to be together, and that that's the woman, and that she's the woman that I spend the rest of my life with. So in these situations, this situation in particular, I would tell the woman that I love, but knowing something, saying something is one thing. Doing something is a different thing. But during that process, you know, you come to find that sometimes it's easier to think of all the things you want to say, but it's so much harder to just say this to somebody, you know, like say this to the woman that you love, so the man that you love, to their face, on the phone, like even a text form. So like through my entire life, I've kind of figured ways around that. And one of them has always been poetry. Like I can tell a story, and I can confess feelings. I can confess, actions and desires and wants and everything in the form of a poem. And the beauty the beauty and the detriment of a poem is it's a lot like a painting, is what you think or what you know the poem is about can be completely different to somebody else, because how that person takes what you created with your words, with your word picture, is could be something completely something else that is perceived by someone who is reading it for the first time as something else. Maybe they see something in their mind or feel something in their heart that you didn't really intend. And that is the dangerous part of giving somebody a love poem, okay? Because I remember growing up reading several love poems and thinking to myself, personally, I think this guy hates her and he's just trying to get out of it. And that's how I perceived these certain poems. And I think a lot of the times, true love poetry has been diluted down. And personally, in an unpopular opinion, I blame Shakespeare. Because what that man, don't get me wrong, brilliant author, great writer, genius, whenever it comes to the idea of, or not the idea, but the word paintings that he did, the plays that he did, like all that stuff, it was great. But everybody, for the most part, whenever somebody writes a love poem, there's a lot of people that just try to be, you know, that next Shakespeare because they want something of theirs to live forever. I personally, whenever I write something, I don't care if it goes in modern terms. I don't care if it goes viral. I don't care if it's seen if it gets published. Whenever I write something, it's because at that moment, that is what I was feeling. And that is what is needed. For me to be able to move forward with my life, with the day, because sometimes a poem will just pop into my head and I have to literally stop what I'm doing to write it down. Whether it's on my phone and my notes or like just like pen to paper, whatever or wherever I'm at, if it pops into my head, I got to write it down. Sometimes like I'll get in the middle of it and it's crap. It's fine. Whatever, it happens. But sometimes I just get so lost, and I noticed a lot of my poetry has always been, I like most of the time, I feel like most of my best work comes whenever I'm depressed, whenever life is hitting me so hard that all I want to do is quit, that like I just want to crawl up with the darkness in bed and just let it consume me. I can write the best stuff. Like if I'm just depressed or if I'm just pissed off at the world, I tend to write some of my best work. Before, like a lot of my earlier works, whenever I started writing poetry, I sit back and look at it and realize that it was crap. I think it took me a long time to find my style. And I think that's important with every writer, is that you have to be able to find your style. Not pattern it off of anybody, but just find a way to write that is you. And that is something that is so very important. And I think it's you have to teach that to creative people, because a lot of people tend to try to mimic certain other people's styles, whether it be in poetry form or short stories, novels, lyrics. You know, like people try to tend to copy someone else's style, That's why in in rap, I think there was a long period of time where it was like a lot of the, a lot of like in my day, like the 90s rap, it was all like original stuff. Everybody had a different style. Nowadays, it's all the same. It seems like it's all the same style, and it's just there's no originality to it. So I feel like if you're gonna write, no matter what it is that you write, write what you know, find your style, and just go with it. You know, just write what you're feeling. It doesn't have to be about love. It doesn't have to be about heartbreak. You can write about anything. Hell, I once wrote a poem while I was hammered, very Hemingway-like. I was hammered, and I think I wrote, and I'm pretty sure the poem was about how my favorite pen ran out of ink. And I made this whole poem about that, but I never once mentioned the pen and the ink. It was about time running out. So basically, what I'm saying is like, if you're going through something, you're gonna end up doing this, and you want to write, like, you don't have to literally say what's going on. You know, like, hey, like you ran out of chicken nuggets, boom. Good things always leave you. Boom. You know, there's metaphors and stuff like that that you can work around. I have found inspirations in the weirdest of things. You know, like I was watching a television commercial one day, and like one of my best poems, I feel like one of my best poems popped into my head, and it like instantly. It was a commercial that triggered one of my most powerful pieces of work. So you can find inspiration in anything. And I think whenever you're whenever you're going through like anxiety or depression or whatever, you tend to like a lot of people tend to just get a little naive to think that, you know, like all they can do is just lay there and sit there. No, grab some paper, like write it down. It doesn't have to be a poem. It doesn't have to be a short story. It doesn't have, yeah, hell, it doesn't even have to make sense. Just do it. So the rest of this episode, I'm gonna give you some of my poems, and maybe hopefully you like them. Maybe you don't. But it's my show, and I don't give a shit. I'm putting it out there. So that's what the show's about is just putting it out there. Putting it out there. It's like I just like whenever I told my girl that that I'm gonna marry her one day, I meant it. I put it out there. I put it out there in the world. For the universe, for God, you know, like that's, and if it's now, it now has to be a thing. I now have to do it because if I don't, I'm gonna have that regret for the rest of my life. And if you live, if you let yourself have one single regret, it's gonna eat at you and eat at you. So that's another thing about this show is that this is me encouraging you. If you've got something out there, you know, I don't care what it is. If it's a creative thing, you know, like if it's a singer, like a dancer, actor, blah, writer, whatever. You just gotta do it. Like I have been fortunate enough to be able to do everything that I've ever wanted to do, and I can take great pride in that. Did it make me a ton of money? Fuck no. I'm in debt. Did it bring me worldwide fame? No. But there's a few people out there that got inspired by some of the stuff that I've done, and I've helped a lot of people. And you know what? That's good enough for me. I don't need to be a household name, but between this show and my wrestling career, and maybe something that I wrote years ago helped someone else. Those are the kind of things that you really live for. With that being said, here's some originals by Shannon. I'm not supposed to love you. I'm not supposed to try. I'm not supposed to think about you, not even when I cry. I'm not supposed to believe a chance is there to take. I'm only supposed to live my life, even if it's fake. I shouldn't want to hear your voice in the middle of the day. Doesn't matter what I do, or even what I say. You reached inside my heart, as cold as it has become. Now I feel a release from the soul that was once numb. I'm not allowed to say out loud the things I want to say, but in my heart I can't help but feel you'll be mine one day. How do you tell the person you love that your heart is theirs to take when all you have is time and a whole world to fake? I shouldn't have these feelings, nor should I have these fears. People always leave, and that's why I hold in my tears. I never thought I'd love someone who I just truly met. My life is full of chaos. You are my surest bet. So if I have to wait forever for a light that says go, I'll be ready to take your hand, and the world can see the show. A Belief in the Heart by Shannon Staniford. Crimson mask is covering the demon I have become. The world has broken the shell, making the captive numb. This soul that was once a light that others found assuring, now dwindles into the darkness where the demons find alluring. You can find comfort in knowing that this world made me this way. The search for peace is useless because I've become more broken than you say. You can look into my eyes and see the drive that is lacking. As the blood reaches a boil, the soul of mine is cracking. So while the murder of a man can be easily ignored, you can fight and scratch, but the soul can never be restored. That was Murder of a Soul by me. Where it hurts to breathe, even the blackest hearts love underneath. Seconds tumbles off the clock of time. It's something that has no rhythm or rhyme. The blessed are those that feel it grow. Nothing should dim its everlasting glow. The very reason we fight, rather we're wrong or right. It was the love that started the fall. It condemned a life, one and all. A simple look or a touch of Midas glove froze us all in heart's enduring love. To find another is truly a clamber. Maybe it's because I'm encased in a shell of amber. Walking a path of solitude with fires at my feet, I cannot hide or give in to defeat. I crawl my way back to the lightness of hope, bleeding and battered on this tight rope. I'll carry a love that made me believe once, playing the fool and the coward and the dunce. One day I will light my torch and shine. Till that day I remember that she was mine. So to the lost and the lonely and the forgetful doves, never forget your first loves. That was Love Encased.
What's up, guys? In Your Head with Shannon Staniford is... podcast where Shannon talks to everyday people with everyday problems. Everyone has a story, and every story should be told. So you listen right now to Shannon's podcast on Spotify and many other places, y'all. Come on, man. Be the light. Peace.
Robert Frost once said, "A poem begins as a lump in the throat, a sense of wrong, a homesickness, a lovesickness." This has been In Your Head, Shannon Staniford. And while we've changed things up a little bit, the end game is very much the same. I have always been a very big believer that the smallest things can change someone's life. I have never been more sure about that than when. So two things happened over the last month, and I'd like to talk about them before I end this episode. I was having an interesting day one day while I was at my job, and I helped a coworker get out of a conversation she didn't need to be in, as it was inappropriate. Her mom thanked me in a text message later that evening because she was appreciative of something that I did, that I was not even aware that I was really doing. I just knew that I needed to do the right thing. The right thing felt like I needed to get that young lady out of the conversation. And along the lines of that day, a lady posted on my personal Facebook about how in 2016, I helped change her life. See, she was in a bad way. And apparently, through actions of my own, I helped put her on a course to where she's now bettering her life. And she thought she needed to take the time, 5 years later, to thank me. Now, Cody, as I know you listen to this show, you didn't need to thank me at all. Because I don't do things to be I don't do things to be thanked. I don't do things for the recognition or the glory. I wish that I could tell you that I remember what I did or what I said, but I don't. Lots happened in the last 5 years. There's been concussions. There's been mental breakdowns. There's been a lot of things that have gone on with me that make it pretty difficult for me to remember a lot of things. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because little things. Now, I don't entirely remember what I did or even what I said, but whatever it was, it helped change a life. And that, to me, is a part of my legacy that I hope one day, whenever my heart beats its final beat and my lungs breathe their last bit of air, the legacy that I leave to be remembered by, whether it's by my kids, by my family, my friends, or just in the universe, is that there was a time when someone needed something. And whether it was small or large, I contributed just a little bit. And I will be able to go peacefully, knowing that there's at least one person in this world that would be glad that I existed. Because there are times in this world, in this life, where I sometimes doubt that. And the great thing about my belief and my God, and the God, to me, is that he has ways of knowing what you'll go through, what the tests and the trials and the tribulations that you go through. He has ways to remind you just how important you are. There's this quote from Doctor Who that the doctor says when someone says, "Oh, that person's unimportant." He says, in 900 years, he has never met anyone that is not important. And ever since I heard that line, I've tried to live my life with that mindset. That's how God views me. That's how God views you. That's how I view you. Life in general, it can be pretty interesting. It can also be pretty heavy. So, like this episode was about, find ways to let it out. Whether it be physical, in the form of going to a gym, maybe working out in some form. Verbal, talking about it. Nonverbal, writing about it. Do something to help get that stuff, get that heaviness, that darkness out of you. Put it on paper. Put it out there for the world. Get it off your chest. It may not solve every problem, but it'll help you at least a little bit. So thanks again for listening to In Your Head with Shannon Stanford. I am Shannon Stanford, and most importantly, thank you to everyone that still believes in the show, that still believes in me. Believe in yourself too. So there's a few things that I want to plug. You can find us on Facebook, In Your Head with Shannon Stanford podcast page. You can email us at inyourheadwithshannon@gmail.com. You can find me on Instagram, Slender and Sarcastic. You can find me on TikTok, Diet Deadpool. I did change it. It's more me. I mean, same content, but I've always kind of just liked that little nickname. Guys, girls, I want you all to know how appreciative I am. Before I started recording this episode, I found out that we have added yet another country to the show. We have now all of North America, as we have welcomed our friends in Mexico as one of the many, many countries that are listening to us now. So thank you very much. So gracias to my friends in Mexico, and thank you for joining us on this, and thank you for listening to this episode. Like I said, sometimes when things get a little too heavy, you gotta dial it down a little bit, dial it back. For the time being, we're gonna do it this way. So start looking forward to some interviews as we get them all lined up. I will be recording different kind of episodes in the meantime until I can get the interviews lined up and recorded. But until then, hang with us, guys. We're changing a lot of things up. This year has been... there's some winds of change coming along this world of mine. And I'm taking all of you with me. The show's gonna change some stuff up about the show. My life is gonna change a little bit. And hopefully... I can solve that pesky being alone issue by ending that very soon. In the end, all we are is dust in the wind. In the immortal words of my father, I'm out of here.